It's 19 hours 30 UTC on Tuesday, November 21st, and this is Zimbabwe Today.
I, Robert Gabriel Mugabe, in terms of Section 96, Subsection 1 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, hereby formally tender my resignation as the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe with immediate effect.
Zimbabwean Parliamentary Speaker Jacob Mudenda reading President Robert Mugabe's letter of resignation, ending 37 years in power. Good evening, I'm Dimyake Mukalielie.
And I'm Scott Stearns on VOA's Zimbabwe Today. Expelled from the ruling party and facing impeachment in parliament, President Robert Mugabe today gave in to mounting pressure to step down. Sebastian Mhofu has our story from Harare.
After a week of house arrest, negotiations, loud protests, and finally impeachment proceedings, Robert Mugabe's epic 37-year tenure as Zimbabwe's head of state has ended. Speaker Jacob Mdenda read Mugabe's resignation letter just after Parliament had moved to bigger facilities to begin impeachment proceedings. With the words, quote, I, Robert Gabriel Mugabe, in terms of Section 96 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, hereby formally tender my resignation with immediate effect. The House erupted into cheers, which spread to the streets of Harare, the capital.
In terms of the Constitution, it beholds the Speaker to make sure that the proper legal processes are put in place so that the country can proceed forward with a president in place. And this will be done not later than end of the day tomorrow. Accordingly, business of this joint sitting is suspended.
There has been no confirmation of the letter from the president or his office, but no immediate denial either. The reported resignation closes a chapter on Mugabe's term as the only leader Zimbabwe has known since its independence in 1980. In that time, the economy has spiraled downward into ruin, infrastructure has crumbled, and many of the nation's elite have been slapped with sanctions over allegations of human rights abuses. The military put Mugabe under house arrest a week ago and said they have been trying and clearly failing to get the 93-year-old leader to resign. Tens of thousands of Harare residents marched over the weekend demanding his resignation, and protests continued Tuesday. Thokozani Kupe is the vice president of the opposition movement for democratic change and told VOA Mugabe needed to step down.
We are happy that today it has dawned on ZANU-PF that this is the hour that Mugabe must go, so that we have a new dispensation where we will have a new leadership, and we want a free, fair and credible election, which is going to result in a democratically elected leadership where the people of Zimbabwe at the end of the day will have a better life.
The leader of the ruling ZANU-PF party says deposed Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa will take over. The catalyst for the dramatic move against Mugabe came earlier this month when Mugabe fired Mnangagwa, who is well-liked by the military, accusing him of treachery. The move was widely seen as a chance for Mugabe to fill the position with his widely unpopular wife. Mnangagwa is 75. Since 1980, he has served in a handful of cabinet positions, including as intelligence chief, and was made VP in 2014. He will now take the reins of a nation with big hopes and bigger problems. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Celebrations in the streets of Harare following President Mugabe's resignation today. We go live now to the Zimbabwean capital and VOA reporter Patricia Mudadigwa. Patricia, thank you for joining us. If you could just paint the scene, what is happening in the capital tonight?
In the capital, people are occupying all the streets and celebrating the resignation of Comrade Robert Mugabe. I've been walking around the streets of Harare and almost everyone is out. Despite the fact that almost around after 9 p.m., Zimbabweans are still in the streets and they are celebrating. Some are singing, some are drinking beer, some are just celebrating and, you know, getting together. You can hear from the background that Zimbabweans are singing and hooting cars and celebrating.
So when you talk to some of them, what are they saying? What is the most, poignant part of Mugabe's resignation for them? Patricia, did you hear that question? Okay, it looks like we have a bad line. Okay, well, we're going to switch and go right to Johannesburg, where Benedict Ntlapo is standing by. There are a lot of Zimbabweans we know in Johannesburg, particularly where you are, Benedict Ntlapo. What is the mood there?
It's great excitement for most Zimbabweans here. People started celebrating as soon as they heard the word that President Robert Mugabe has resigned. They flooded, practically flooding the streets and blocking traffic. You'd find all age groups, the old, the young, they were all celebrating and they were all saying Zimbabwe is free at last. You'd never believe that Zimbabweans that are here would at one time have this freedom so far, but today it was a very big day for Zimbabweans here, and they're still celebrating even up to now in different parts of South Africa, especially in Hillbrook, Beria and Uvalde, where you find a lot of Zimbabweans.
Now, Benedict Ntlapo, you've been covering the Zimbabwean story from South Africa for so long, and I'm sure you're very familiar with some of the Zimbabweans there. What do they say about the real significance for them in terms of being people in the diaspora? Does this mean now they're going to go home? What are they saying?
For them, some of them were telling me that they are teachers, but they are working in restaurants. And some of them were saying this is the moment that they were waiting for. Most of them that I spoke to, they are saying they never had dreamt coming here to South Africa, but because of the economy, because of the politics that were not well in Zimbabwe, they had to come here. So for them, it is the joy of starting the journey to return back home, to pick up wherever they left and to live in a country where they are free to walk. Remember here, wherever they walk, they are asked for passports, they are asked for permits, and most of them are being arrested in South Africa. So the freedom for them is that they will once more return back home and live a life where no one will bother them on the streets as they walk around doing their business.
Now, very important last question for you, and that is South Africa's role in Zimbabwe going forward. What are you hearing?
In terms of, what
will South Africa's role be in Zimbabwe going forward? We know that there have been mediations. In fact, President Zuma and also the President of Angola were expected in Zimbabwe tomorrow to all obviously do and try to facilitate what actually ended up happening today, the resignation.
The next step for South Africa now is to closely monitor the transition that has just happened, because you know that when they were going to Zimbabwe, they were trying to make sure that the standoff that was there between the army and then the President Robert Mugabe ends well without any problem. But now President Robert Mugabe has resigned. Zuma is going to play a very critical role. You remember that we have got a lot of Zimbabweans that are here that have been given permits by South Africa on condition that things will get back home. Mm-hmm. So I think Zuma will be monitoring that process closely. And obviously getting in touch with the people in Zimbabwe, the new government in Zimbabwe, to try and make sure that there is peace as far as this transition is concerned. And South Africa now, if you hear the officials that were speaking already, they are happy for Zimbabwe. They are saying at last Zimbabweans will be able to move forward. Zimbabweans will be able at least to improve the economy so that those Zimbabweans who had left the country can go back home and start building their life.
Well, Benedict Ntlapo, thank you so much. And I want to also give you all your full credit for the coverage you've given to the Zimbabweans there in South Africa over the years. And hopefully there'll be better stories coming from there. Take care.
And on now live to London and our reporter Ezra Sibanda. Ezra, British Prime Minister Theresa May says President Mugabe's resignation gives Zimbabweans the opportunity to pursue a path free of oppression. What's the mood tonight in London?
The mood in London is exciting. There's so much election. A lot of people are phoning around. Bear in mind that this news came when people were at work. You know, here in the United Kingdom, Zimbabweans work very hard to support their families back home in Zimbabwe. So most of the people were actually told by the British themselves wherever they're working. I conducted a few NHS hospitals, and some of the Zimbabweans didn't even know what was going on. And luckily, that is some good doctors and some good receptionists at the hospital. They actually informed them. And they understand a few ladies actually asked to go back home to finish their shift earlier than scheduled, because normally they finish 9 p.m. British time. But they decided to leave to go back home. I'm sure the bosses understood and let them go home. There's so much excitement going around, but unfortunately people cannot gather, as you know, that they work and they live in different parts of the United Kingdom.
Zimbabweans in London have been holding weekly vigils till President Mugabe leaves. Will those vigils now turn to celebration?
Definitely. I'm sure tomorrow, normally every Wednesday, they gather at the embassy to make a protest and denouncing Robert Mugabe. This time it changed. I'm sure tomorrow there will be a celebration because people are phoning each other. They don't know what to do. They are calling their relatives. Everyone is on the phone. Everyone is glued, listening to radios like Studio 7, some watching the Sky News and CNN. Everyone is glued on television now. They can't believe it. Bear in mind that these are Zimbabweans who came here, some of them 20 years ago, some over 20 years ago, and some with no legal status in this country. So when I spoke to a few of them, they are saying they are considering withdrawing their asylum cases and return back to Zimbabwe. But they just wanted to know at the turn of the year what will happen. But if things work well, they are saying they are willing to withdraw their asylum claims and go back to Zimbabwe. So many people have lost their loved ones back home. They lost their relatives, their parents, but they've never gone back to Zimbabwe. They just want to visit their graves and they pay their last respects.
Among the diaspora community there, what are the expectations that Britain, as the former colonial power in Zimbabwe, what role might the United Kingdom play in the new political dispensation in Zimbabwe?
I'm happy that I'm one of the people who have been invited by Her Majesty's government on Friday. They called a few, about eight Zimbabweans, to come at the Commonwealth Office, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, to meet. They want to discuss, they want to hear what the diaspora Zimbabweans feel about the situation, to see how they can help them. The good news is that Boris Johnson, the Foreign Secretary, has just come out on television saying that they will work hard to readmit Zimbabwe to the Commonwealth. So they want Zimbabwe back. You can tell that all over the world, everyone is welcoming this move. And I think Zimbabwe is promising. Zimbabwe will be a better country at the turn of the year.
Thank you, Ezra. That's VOA's Ezra Sibanda reporting live from London.
Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai of the Movement for Democratic Change is calling on all Zimbabweans from all political parties to come together for the country's future.
So that we build a Zimbabwe that we can all respect, that we can all admire. Never again should we have a process where the people have to take up arms against their own government.
That is Zimbabwe opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai of the Movement for Democratic Change.
A statement from the U.S. Embassy in Harare tonight saying, "Tonight marks an historic moment for Zimbabwe. We congratulate all Zimbabweans who raised their voices and stated peacefully and clearly that the time for change was overdue." Here in Washington, speaking to reporters ahead of the president's resignation, U.S. Acting Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Donald Yamamoto says the Trump administration believes Zimbabwe has an opportunity to chart a new path.
In order to change the and meet and address the needs of the people of Zimbabwe is to implement real, genuine economic, political reforms in compliance with the Constitution, and also respect for due process and human rights.
Yamamoto says elections scheduled for next year should not be unfairly dominated by the ruling party.
What we don't want is a manipulation by the government or by the ZANU-PF by saying holding Russia elections, not taking consideration a lot of the reform issues that the opposition has wants to implement. Also, not giving an ability or political space for the Zimbabwe people to kind of express what they want to see in a new government. Because it is a process, and it really has to reflect and be accountable to the people of Zimbabwe.
The acting U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs says that it is a moment Zimbabweans cannot afford to miss.
This is a historic opportunity. You know, you may not have this opportunity for some time. Take advantage of it and move the country forward.
Yamatoto says Zimbabwean leaders are talking to the Trump administration about what they need to do to get out from under the international sanctions. He says Washington wants to see due process, respect for human rights, and the expansion of political space.
We've been talking to the Zimbabwean government and to the people of Zimbabwe about what we would like to do in Zimbabwe. Not only the monetary issues, the education issues, but look at agricultural development. If agriculture dominates the African continent, including Zimbabwe, with 70% of the population engaged in agriculture, yet Zimbabwe used to be the breadbasket of Southern Africa. It used to be. It imports food. That's outrageous. That's unacceptable. It's unimaginable. Here's an extraordinarily rich country that imports food.
That is the acting U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Donald Yamamoto.
So what's next for Zimbabwe? ZANU-PF leaders are moving quickly to distance the party from its long history with President Mugabe and with cabinet ministers who the military now says are thieves. Home Affairs Minister Obert Mpofu says the party has learned its lesson and will move forward more democratically with former Vice President Mnangagwa as its chief.
Inasmuch as this is said, it is historic that the party shall never again allow such undemocratic processes and procedures in the conduct of its business. The reinstatement of the Vice President and Second Secretary, Comrade Emmerson Mnangagwa, to his position in the government and party is indeed a welcome resolution.
Who is Emmerson Mnangagwa? The former intelligence chief was a Chinese-trained guerrilla fighter during Zimbabwe's War of Independence and has been a close associate of President Mugabe for nearly four decades. From Johannesburg, VOA's Anita Powell looks at the man Zimbabweans call the crocodile.
For 37 years, Emmerson Mnangagwa was Robert Mugabe's right-hand man and one of his staunchest defenders. Mnangagwa was at a ZANU-PF rally in central Zimbabwe earlier this year. ZANU-PF is a sacred party, he tells the crowd. It will rule and rule. Those barking will continue doing that while ZANU-PF remains in power. Forward with Mr. Mugabe. Forward with ZANU-PF, he says. What a difference a few months make. Now deposed Vice President Mnangagwa, nicknamed the Crocodile for his cunning guerrilla tactics in Zimbabwe's independence war, is leading calls for Mugabe to step down. Last week, the military put Mugabe under house arrest, demanding Mnangagwa's reinstatement and Mugabe's resignation. Mugabe fired Mnangagwa earlier this month, accusing him of treachery. The move was widely seen as a chance for Mugabe to fill the position with his unpopular 52-year-old wife, Grace Mugabe. Since 1980, Mnangagwa has served in a handful of cabinet positions, including as intelligence chief, and he was made vice president in 2014 after Mugabe fell out with his predecessor Joyce Mujuru, now also a bitter Mugabe critic. Mnangagwa's investiture, in fact, would settle a bitter generational power struggle within the ruling party. One faction of liberation-era fighters-turned-politicians is led by Mnangagwa, who earned his nickname in 1965, the year Grace Mugabe was born. The other, the G40 faction of younger Zimbabweans, was led by Grace Mugabe and enjoyed privileged access to her husband. Chris Muchanga, head of the influential War Veterans Association, said they are supporting Mnangagwa. He blamed the nation's struggling economy on the poor leadership of the younger faction.
They have no idea of how to run a modern state, so they've run a scorched-earth policy on the economy. But what we have done with my leadership of the war veterans is to give back the people of Zimbabwe their conscience, because they look to the people who fought and liberated them for guidance. And when we then said there's something wrong with this man and his wife and the team, the cabal called the G40.
Is Mnangagwa a breath of fresh air? Zimbabwean scholars are quick to note he is widely credited with being the architect of Kakura Hundi, a series of army-led massacres of political and ethnic rivals in the 1980s. Mnangagwa has maintained a low profile since his firing, but in a widely circulated statement Tuesday, he criticizes the regime's corruption, incompetency, dereliction of duty and laziness, social and cultural decadency. But why now? Perhaps Mnangagwa let his intentions show in an interview 2 years ago with local media, in which he spoke proudly of his nickname, the crocodile. It never goes in the villages or in the bush looking for food, he said. It strikes at the appropriate time. Could this be Emmerson Mnangagwa's time? Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
As you can imagine, the source of information from so many Zimbabweans around the world is, of course, social media, the internet, Facebook, Twitter. And standing with us here in the studio, rather sitting with us in the studio, is Chido Njwere, who's going to kind of explain to us how this social media is helping to inform people about what's happening in Zimbabwe. Hi, Chido.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So tell us what are you coming across on the social media platforms?
So since... Like they mentioned earlier, a lot of people are not in Zimbabwe. They're in London. They're in different regions. So social media has brought people together, and they're able to communicate together and kind of express their excitement, their some of their fears and some of their hopes of what's going to happen next.
What are you hearing, and what are the sources that are being used? Is it how much of Twitter and how much of Facebook, and what are they saying on it?
Mainly Twitter, because it's a lot easier compared to Facebook. On Twitter, a lot of people mentioned that, you know, they're shocked. You know, it's hard to believe that this finally has happened, and they're happy, but they don't want to get too excited because they're not sure about what's happening later or tomorrow.
So can we easily say that the internet, or rather the social media, is one of the reasons why so many people got to find out at the same time, maybe around the world? Obviously, people were sending tweets right before the announcement came.
Yes, because as soon as people found out, you know, like, especially with WhatsApp kind of being sort of like a social media, everybody was logging onto their Twitters and just, you know, cheering and tagging their friends. There's been a lot of hashtags that have been used, and those are linking everybody around the world, and you can just click on the hashtag and you see all the responses.
So, Chido, I have to ask you again. I think this is something that is so relevant to you. You're one of Zimbabwe's youth, and we see so many youth who have been really out there in the streets trying to, you know, participate in this movement. What does it mean to somebody like you, maybe who wasn't, maybe you fall into this bracket called the born-free generation? What does it mean to you?
Well, I wasn't, born, obviously, when we went through independence in 1980. But for me, I kind of understand now what people felt at that moment in time when they finally felt free. So this is my, you know, independence. This is the younger generation's independence, and, you know, us flocking into the streets and tweeting about it and just cheering. This is how our parents felt, how our parents' parents felt. So it's very important. I'm always going to remember where I was when I first found out, you know, that he resigned.
What are the opportunities that you think will now start flooding in because he's out?
Well, definitely a lot of people, especially on social media, we're talking about returning back home. You know, there are people who've been, you know, in the diaspora for like 17 plus years, and they can finally go back home, rebuild, and, you know, start new, because there's nothing really, you know, stopping them anymore, to be honest.
And of course, this is a trying time for the youth as well, because they are now responsible for what happens to the rest of the years for Zimbabwe. What do you think is the role that youth like you are going to play going forward?
Well, we're going to have to learn to work together, come together, and stay strong, and make sure that what happened before doesn't happen again, and when it does, we need to stand up and say something and not just go quietly into the night and just say, oh, well, somebody's going to fix it. We have to fix it. I mean, peacefully, obviously, because that's what works. You know, we don't need to have any violence, because we didn't have violence in this situation, and we got what we wanted.
Thank you so much, Chido Njeri, for joining us in this studio as we discuss the resignation of President Mugabe of Zimbabwe today.
Joining us now, VOA's Chris Gonde. Chris, we heard from President Mugabe on Sunday in a rather remarkable non-resignation speech in which he said that the military move against him diminished neither his standing as president nor as commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Today, he sends his resignation letter to Parliament. What changed?
It's not very clear what changed, but, you know, judging from the pressure that he was under, you know, it was growing just by the day. Even the people were taken to the streets almost every day. And I think that, you know, when he made that speech, at first it was like he wasn't sure what was going to happen, or he thought maybe it was going to be like what has happened before when he has been able to withstand the pressure. But this time the pressure came from all directions.
Zimbabweans woke up this morning expecting what could have been a protracted impeachment process, something that certainly would have dragged on and could have unearthed some of the misdeeds of President Mugabe and those of him in the ruling party. How does his resignation, as sparing Parliament and the country that protracted impeachment process, change what will happen next?
Yes, this has changed a lot because, first of all, the opposition had put on the table a number of demands that if they are going to vote together with the ruling party against Mugabe, they were going to get some concessions. But unfortunately, this has meant that the resignation has pushed away those demands, which means now they are starting from a clean slate. So the opposition and the ruling party, now they are going to have to negotiate from scratch without any of the either of the parties being in a favorable position.
So, Chris, what do you think will happen to the opposition? Obviously, they may be seizing on this opportunity to try to now really dominate the scene and maybe try to overtake and maybe beat the ZANU-PF party in the coming 2018 elections, that if they have not been postponed at this point. Do you see them being able to match ZANU-PF?
You know, it's unfortunate that this has happened at a time when the opposition was at its weakest. Because obviously, you know, the opposition, the main opposition, the MDCT, the leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, you know, he is facing serious health problems, and there has been some kind of, you know, there are some disturbances within the party. The party is, you know, there are some who are pushing that Mr. Tsvangirai steps down and hand over power to someone who will be able to, you know, do a rigorous campaign. Because Mr. Tsvangirai, as you might know, he was diagnosed with cancer. So that the situation that is obtaining right now came at a very wrong time for the opposition. And on the other hand, ZANU-PF appears to have resurged, you know, from the days of since Mr. Mugabe, the President Mugabe is no longer the president, and you have someone who, some people within ZANU-PF itself, Mr. Emmerson Mnangagwa, is not that popular within ZANU-PF. He wasn't, of course, until now, but, you know, even now, it's not that he's as popular as President Mugabe at one stage. So it's really quite interesting to see what happens next, especially when elections are held.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Gande, thank you so much for joining us and for giving us those insights.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's it for us this evening on VOA Zimbabwe Today. I'm Scott Stearns.
And I'm Dumiake Mwakalyelye. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. Zimbabwe time for the latest news and analysis in English. VOA Shona and Ndebele broadcast can be heard at 6 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. Zimbabwe time.
Stay with us around the clock on Facebook at Studio 7, VOA Ndebele and VOA Shona, as well as our VOA website, www.studio7news.com.